Breaking news. Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe debunks Adam Schiff's theory that the Hunter Biden emails are some kind of Russian disinformation. We'll talk about that and more today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
You are the director of national intelligence. You see more intelligence than anybody in the country other than the president of the United States. So you can tell us what's real and what's fake. Is this Russian disinformation, director?
So, Maria, it's funny that some of the people that complain the most about intelligence being politicized are the ones politicizing intelligence. And unfortunately, in this case, it is Adam Schiff, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Let me be clear. The intelligence community doesn't believe that because there's no intelligence that supports that. And we have shared no intelligence with Chairman Schiff or any other member of Congress that Hunter Biden's laptop is part of some Russian disinformation campaign. It's simply not true.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
You know, and we've heard this time and time again from Adam Schiff. He doesn't have the intel. None has been shared with Congress, as you heard from Director of National Intelligence Ratcliffe. And yet Adam Schiff claims that he knows this is Russian disinformation. He's absolutely certain he's got the info. Does this remind you of something? He knows there was Russia collusion between Donald Trump, the Trump campaign, and Russia. And then Mueller came out and said, no, there's not. So he had to rush to come up with another reason to justify an impeachment. And it was a call 35 people were listening to between the president and the newly elected president of Ukraine. Remember, he didn't move forward with impeachment on Russia, though he claims still today that the Trump campaign, quote, colluded with Russia, even though the Mueller team found no collusion at all. And in this case, he said, well, it's certainly, you know, disinformation from Russia, except for Congress has gotten no briefings on this. And the director of national intelligence, John Ratcliffe, said they have no intel at all to back that theory up. So you've got what? The same Schiff show, where he will just make it up as he goes, see how long it will stick. But we've got, we had the acting director of national intelligence, like Rick Rennell, be joining us in the next segment of the broadcast to discuss this. And the current director of national intelligence, these are much tougher guys than Adam Schiff is used to dealing with. That he's used to dealing with kind of behind the scenes directors of national intelligence. These guys know Adam Schiff and know to put him in his place. Look, you don't go around claiming you got intel when you weren't even briefed.
No, you don't go around claiming intel when there's no intel to support what you're claiming, which is precisely, by the way, if we think this is new, we have played this routine before. We have played this game before. This is Bob Mueller 1.0, impeachment 2.0, and now we have Russiagate again, 3.0, impacting national intelligence with the vice president's son. Here's the problem. Nothing in the data, this is what the intelligence people are saying, nothing in the intelligence that has been gathered supports this proposition that what was on this hard drive came from the Russians. But what we want to focus in on this, and I think it's important to understand it, is they are again building already. Now, 2 weeks before, 2 weeks and a day before the election of the President of the United States, here we go again with the new allegation of, guess what? Russian interference with the election and skewing the election. That's what they're trying to do for this. That's what they're trying to do with this. And, Than, you only got a minute here. To me, that seems like, you know, we played this game before and they want to play the same game. The American people don't buy it.
Yeah, I mean, if there's one thing that Adam Schiff is not an authority on, it's judging what is and is not credible coming from the Kremlin. So I think you can just dismiss it right off the bat on that. But, Jay, again, I mean, I think you're right to just point out the double standard. Can you imagine if the shoe were on the other foot? Or look, just compare the Russian dossier with the reporting that's coming now from the New York Post. I don't think they've been treated the same. I don't think anyone looking at it with a straight face, with a straight mind, Jay, thinks that they've been treated the same.
No, I agree. Jordan?
No, I think that, listen, the truth is we've got to push back. We're 15 days out from the election.
Hard to believe.
A lot is going to come out, and it will be up to oftentimes you to be the judge of how that will impact or not impact who you are voting for. Because there will not be time to have full investigations into all of this. There will not be time to fully vet all information. A lot of info will start flying out about both candidates. It's up to you to decide if that's going to impact how you vote. Now, joining us next, someone who knows about this, the former acting director of national intelligence, our special advisor, Rick Rennell.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. So, I mean, the breaking news today is that you've got the Director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe, coming out this morning on Fox Business and saying, listen, this whole idea that the Hunter Biden laptop is somehow Russian disinformation, it's not. That we've got no intelligence that supports that whatsoever. Now, he oversees the 17 various intelligence agencies. Our special advisor at the American Center for Law and Justice on National Security and Foreign Policy, Rick Rennell, is the former acting director of National Intelligence who oversaw those 17 intelligence agencies. Yep. So he would know, you know, Ratcliffe would know if any intel had come in and whether or not that intel, by the way, would be ready to be shared with Congress. You know, you get a lot of information and then you've got to try and verify the information to a point that you believe it should actually be shared with the relevant Gang of Eight, the relevant committees, and even brought to the White House's attention, because if it's too raw and it hasn't been backed up, well, they get loads of that through these different intel committees. Take a listen. This is the Director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe, on Maria Bartiromo this morning by 2.
You are the Director of National Intelligence. You see more intelligence than anybody in the country other than the president of the United States, so you can tell us what's real and what's fake. Is this Russian disinformation, Director?
So, Maria, it's funny that some of the people that complain the most about intelligence being politicized are the ones politicizing intelligence. And unfortunately, in this case, it is Adam Schiff, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, who, as you pointed out on Friday, said that the intelligence community believes that Hunter Biden's laptop and the emails on it are part of some Russian disinformation campaign. Let me be clear, the intelligence community doesn't believe that because there's no intelligence that supports that. And we have shared no intelligence with Chairman Schiff or any other member of Congress that Hunter Biden's laptop is part of some Russian disinformation campaign. It's simply not true.
I mean, that is a pretty direct statement from the Director of National Intelligence. Now, I know that and Fan, I want to go to you on this, that the Senate committees have already started asking the FBI about what's the status of all of this. And what we're really focusing in on is not so much what was on his laptop, but this idea that the narrative that is trying to be created here, as this was some Russian counterintelligence operation, you know, in coordination with the Trump campaign. I mean, that's kind of how they're, that's what, I mean, Adam Schiff, as Jordan said it clearly. He said, this is information that is from the Russians, disinformation, and we know that. And now we know there's no way he knows that because the intelligence community says it's not that.
Yeah, there's a couple of things at play here, and Chairman Johnson in the United States Senate is looking into both of these, Jay. But the first is exactly that one, the statement from Adam Schiff that we know this whole smear on Joe Biden comes from the Kremlin. Oh, really? You've tried that game before. It did not work. The carpet got pulled out from under you. It was revealed to be completely false. And oh, by the way, in relation to that point, Jay, I mean, remember, the last time around, it was the FBI and news outlets that were found to be working in cahoots together, substantiating each other's unsubstantiated information and using it going forward. The other thing, though, that the chairman's going to ask about, Jay, is about this threshold for using information. I mean, the threshold the last time around when it came to spying on an American citizen or spying on a candidate for president or a sitting president was so low. It was on the ground. They didn't substantiate or verify anything. Now, all of a sudden, when you get information, rather than working to substantiate it, you just immediately jump to, oh, that's a smear campaign from overseas. Jay, I would just put the track record of Adam Schiff and the track record of John Ratcliffe alongside each other. And yes, we have to get to the bottom of the information and verify it for ourselves. Each of us do. But if you put the track record of those two individuals side by side, for my money, Jay, that's an easy choice.
Yeah, here's what Adam Schiff had to say about knowing for sure that this was Russian disinformation.
Well, we know that this whole smear on Joe Biden comes from the Kremlin. That's been clear for well over a year now that they've been pushing this false narrative about the vice president and his son.
What's false? I mean, this is what I want to ask you. We know that that Hunter Biden, his buddy, and Chris Hines Kerry, who was also involved, Chris Hines, it was John Kerry's stepson, I mean, was involved with this. Other officials, they were on the board of Burisma. This is not a secret. This is not made up. This is not some kind of story that's not true. We know about the money coming in from the Chinese CEO of that company who disappeared, by the way, in 2018. They think he was taken into Chinese custody by the Chinese intelligence services. And by the way, he was part of the Chinese military intel services. And he was opening up lines of credit for the Biden family. None of this is allegations. This is known. Hunter Biden's connection to Burisma is not an allegation. It is fact. So, again, Adam Schiff tries to play this partisan game with facts. The facts are, Hunter Biden was getting paid to be on the board of Burisma, so were his friends. He was also taking the money from this Moscow, and his father admitted that during the first debate.
Said he wished
from
he didn't
the,
do it.
From the right. mayor's, former deceased mayor's wife of Moscow, millions of dollars there. We also know there was a line of credit opened up by a Chinese businessman who disappeared in 2018 in China for the Biden family to utilize. Even like uncles were utilizing this line of credit.
Right.
So, when we see in these documents, too, the big guy gets a 10% cut or a 20% cut, I mean, you can assume, here's my assumption, okay, because I'm taking all of that and then I'm making one assumption. Who's taking it off the top, which is what I've believed about this the whole time, is Joe Biden. So Joe Biden is getting a 10% cut of all of the business or more that Hunter's bringing in, and that's why he protects Hunter so aggressively in these debates and won't call it as at least say what he was doing was probably not right and wrong and he wasn't in the right state and he was being taken advantage of. No, instead of that, he says, I'm not going to talk about this and you're lying, but that's because he was financially benefiting from it.
Yeah, and what's interesting here is there's been no denial. I mean, there's been no denial by the campaign as to the authenticity of these records. But I go beyond the records. To me, it's not just about the records. It's this idea that already there is a narrative being created by the Biden campaign that there is a form of, to use the Bob Mueller term, a form of collusion aimed at, by the Russians, aimed at people that got this information out. They said Rudy Giuliani was going to be compromised. They said others would be compromised. But we've heard this exact same record before. And it's as if they're building up their defense once again to delegitimize an election in 15 days. And you can bet, if in fact the president wins, which I believe he will, that they will use this again as another delegitimization call for hearings, than in the House of Representatives on this whole thing. How did Hunter Biden's laptop end up in the public sphere? You know it's coming.
Oh, absolutely. No question about it. And I would tell you the plans for impeachment are coming, too, based on all sorts of different narratives. Look, I would say this, though, at this moment in time as we lead up to the election. I mean, I think next Congress is going to have its own whole new set of questions. But, you know, leading up to the election, Jay, these are questions that Joe Biden needs to answer for the benefit of the American people. You know, for a second, just forget about the investigative entities, which, again, those questions should be answered as well. But to me, this goes back to the response that he gave when pressed on the court packing issue, that voters did not deserve to have an answer. No, this is exactly the moment that these kind of dealings, when he held public office before, how did he handle that public trust? Jay, to me, that information is incredibly relevant as the American people go to the polls and say, do I want to trust this individual with the highest office in the land? How did he handle the second highest office in the land? You know, to me, that's more important even than the FBI investigation, withholding information from voters at the very time they're heading to the polls to try to make up their mind. To me, that's his first obligation.
You know, Jordan, I was wondering this because you have got presidential campaign experience. Yeah. Well, how does this, I mean, we are literally two weeks and a day. I mean, a lot of people have already voted. The election's underway.
Yeah, I voted this morning. So I have my sticker. I voted. So I early voted where we live in. And this, again, there will still be, though, a lot of people who have not yet voted until Election Day, or who haven't, if they have mail-in ballots, won't send them in until a day or two or even that day for their mail-in ballots. So there is still a lot that can happen between now and Election Day. And how does this all play? I think that the big part of it is this. Do we get to the debate Thursday, actually have a debate? I think it's always up in the air until we actually, you know, it happens, at least until Wednesday night, because of all the issues. Like what if Joe Biden got COVID? You know, like all these different things could happen in between. Not wishing that on anybody. I'm just saying this is the kind of stuff that we're dealing with in this election cycle. So you get to that debate. I think this is when it has to be hammered home again, because now it's not just allegations of, what was your son doing taking this money from Burisma? Now it is, what were you doing, Joe, taking this money from Burisma?
You need to ask him for the debate.
I think President Trump has to ask Joe Biden that.
Do you think the moderator
Absolutely
will?
Absolutely not. These moderators are left-wing, pro-Biden, Democrat hacks.
Wouldn't that be something if one of the biggest stories
Including
of
Chris
the
Wallace.
Election? Yeah, well, that was for sure. If they don't bring that up in the debate. Folks, let me ask you thank you, actually. We are about a little more than halfway through the month, and we are having a heck of a month. I mean, it's a great month for the ACLJ. We're up about 21% for the month this time over last year. Your support of the ACLJ keeps this broadcast. You like this broadcast. You're watching it, and millions of you listen to it and watch it. Go to ACLJ.org and support the work of the ACLJ here in the United States and around the globe. ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. You know, we've heard the responses. If you want to, we'd love to hear your thoughts, too. We're 15 days out from the election, folks. You know, there's polls all over the place. I say at this point, you need to stop paying any attention to national polls. They mean nothing. They kind of give you an indication early on in a race about the mood of the country. But really what we're talking about is a dozen or so states where we need to focus in on. And, of course, you may have a very important Senate race in your state, gubernatorial. So don't not vote because you're not one of those dozen states. But you look at the key swing state polls, and if you look at the margins, and if the margins are 5 and 6, and Trump's down 5 or 6, which he usually is not up in any of those polls ever, he can make that up. And the Biden campaign knows that. So again, don't be discouraged at all by polling, especially that national polling. It doesn't mean anything. When you nationally poll, guess what? What you oversample? States that aren't swing states, like New York and California. They're going
irrelevant.
They're going blue. Neither campaign is campaigning in those states because they know which way they are going. So where do you look? You look to the 12 key states. You look at where's Joe Biden? Where is Donald Trump? Where are they spending their time? That, and then look at the polls from those states. And we'll keep doing that for you as we get closer and closer.
You know, if you look at the polls, the president's about in the same position he was against Hillary Clinton, maybe even a little bit tighter. So that's one thing. Number two, they're starting to close. Number three, there were articles all weekend that the Democrats are very concerned about a repeat of 2016. So they're going to focus on their get-out-the-vote issues. Now, then you have, in the middle of all this, of course, we have a Supreme Court vacancy and a Supreme Court nominee, which, Stan, I want to get your, where are we on? She did fantastic. It's like not even in the news anymore. Is it a foregone conclusion? I never assume it's foregone conclusion, but is it kind of a foregone conclusion she's confirmed?
Well, after the performance she gave in committee, there's no legitimate reason to oppose her. And I think it's about as close to a foregone as you can. Although, like you said, Jay, we never assume that. We keep putting the information in front of United States senators so they make the right choice. But here's sort of the timeline. On Thursday, she's going to get her vote in the Senate Judiciary Committee. That almost certainly looks like it's going to be 12-10 in her favor. And then Leader McConnell has announced that he's going to move her immediately to the floor the next day, setting up a vote for sometime next week, a final vote on the floor of the Senate. Jay, one thing I would tell listeners to look out for, though, Leader McConnell is moving tonight to move to COVID relief legislation, giving Speaker Pelosi yet another opportunity to do it. Here's what I predict. I predict Speaker Pelosi refuses to play along with that COVID negotiation this week. And then when Judge Barrett is on the floor next week, she says, wait a minute, we should be talking about COVID legislation. I think that's going to be her play. Yep. It's not going to work, though.
So we have Rick Grenell, Special Advisor to the ACLJ on Foreign Policy and National Security. We called him this morning to make sure we could get him on the air in light of the fact that he is the former Director of National Intelligence and now the current Director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe. Rick is coming out and saying, you know, these people like Adam Schiff and others are saying this is Russian disinformation. You know, you oversaw this, Rick, 17 different intelligence agencies, and none of them have reported any intel that says that this, what's in the New York Post story, is Russian disinformation.
Look, it's the playbook from Schiff, right? Everything is Russian disinformation. And what I can tell you is I found that what they would say on CNN and MSNBC and publicly was quite different than what they would say when they were under oath in the House basement. Mm. These people continue, like Chicken Little, to blame Russia on everything. And let me just say, I'm a Russian skeptic. I am somebody who absolutely believes that Russian propaganda is real. They use it. But when we attribute it to everything, you really ruin the ability to call it out when it actually exists. And this is what Schiff does. Now, the other thing here is that when John Ratcliffe comes out and says this is not Russian propaganda, and we know the fact that the FBI has the laptop, has continued to hold the laptop, did not give it back to anyone, and is not denying the report that they have the information, these emails. The Biden campaign hasn't denied the substance. Hunter Biden hasn't denied the substance. No one is denying the substance. I think what we have to do, Jordan, is we have to get to the point where we look at the information, the emails, and dig deep to see if these emails are correct. Because if they are, and somehow Joe Biden's brother and Joe Biden's son were selling access to him and holding back some money for him, this is a scandal of epic proportion. We do know this. The State Department warned the White House, the Obama White House, and Joe Biden's office. George Kent, the State Department career official, said he was very uncomfortable with how Hunter Biden was on board of foreign companies and selling access to his father's office. They raised those concerns when Joe Biden was vice president, and those concerns were ignored. So yeah. I think this is a scandal developing. The Washington crowd dismisses it as, oh, selling access, that's what we always do. That's corruption that we're used to. And so they're doing a collective shrug of the shoulders. But the rest of us outside of Washington look at this and say this is outrageous.
You know, Rick, this is Jay. One of the things you said, which I want to reiterate because I think it's important, is, number one, you are a Russian skeptic. You don't trust the Russians on what they're doing, and they've got good counterintelligence capabilities, so we know that. But you said something that to me is very important. I want our audience to understand. What Adam Schiff and others, and believe me, as you know, I dealt with that for 3 weeks on the floor of the United States Senate with the Russia collusion narrative. What they say in public, what they say on CNN and MSNBC is markedly different than what is actually said behind closed doors during depositions, in hearings, and during briefings.
Absolutely. They're getting away with it, too, because the outlets that they go on, MSNBC and CNN, don't push back. To say, wait a minute, you didn't say that when you were under oath. You are now just saying that publicly. And you know, they go so far as to say, oh, I can't tell you because it's classified information. They're using the excuse of intelligence, manipulating the real intelligence to pretend like something else is being done. And I find it to be not only scandalous, but typical of what Washington does.
Jordan?
Yeah, I think that, Rick, you know, when people hear this and they want to know, I mean, the New York Post, you've experienced this with being locked out. They're still locked out of their Twitter account.
Which is something.
And yet you've got the director of national intelligence, a position that you served in, coming out this morning on Fox Business is saying we have no intel whatsoever to back up this claim by Adam Schiff that this is a part of a Russian disinformation campaign. Not only have we not received any intel, of course, then Congress has not been briefed on any intel whatsoever. But this going back to this idea that like people like Adam Schiff, Rick, will just throw out. I mean, he still says there's Russia collusion, even though Bob Mueller said there's not. He still likes to, you know, identify the president as some kind of Russian agent. And this is important. He plays a very important role, Adam Schiff. And so, Rick, where do you think you push back on that? How should people push back on this? The voters in these last 2 weeks before the election.
We got 20 seconds.
I think Adam Schiff has burned his own credibility. People know that he is just throwing it out there with no evidence. And I can tell you, he doesn't have the evidence. This is typical Adam Schiff.
All right, Rick Rinnell is going to be joining us. He's going to stay on with us. We're going to take your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. As always, support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, welcome right back to Jay Sekulow Live. Rick Grenell continues to join us, and we are discussing the fact that the Director of National Intelligence, his former position he held, John Ratcliffe, came out this morning and said, no, there's no evidence whatsoever, no intel whatsoever, that the Hunter Biden laptop and the emails are part of some, quote, Russian disinformation campaign, directly refuting, again, people like Adam Schiff, chairman of the House Intel Committee, who keeps repeating things like Russia collusion, but now is repeating that he's known this was a Russian disinformation campaign for over a year.
Yeah, so Rick, this is what I wanted to ask you. When you see the National, and you were the DNI, when the DNI comes out and said this isn't true, and then Adam Schiff continues to put this out there, they're trying to have an election impact. That's what this really is. This is politicking. This isn't national security.
That's exactly right. This is exactly what Adam Schiff has done for the last 3 years. He's in a position of authority, but is totally political. He's not basing it on intelligence. I can tell you, I have information that Adam Schiff has not been briefed on this. And yet he went out and said that he knows that this is just part of Russian disinformation. Now, this is reckless on his part. This is manipulating the actual real intelligence, and he's doing it for political purposes. It's shameful, and I actually think that this is a moment where he's crossed the line. It's too close to an election. He's trying to create excuses by pretending that he has intelligence. He does not. And when it comes to the point where the Director of National Intelligence has to come out and correct Adam Schiff once again, we have a crisis with Adam Schiff.
Yep.
He is politically manipulating intelligence, and I think he should be removed as the chairman because he has demonstrated too many times that he is manipulating actual intelligence when he doesn't have any information, and he's reckless.
I want to follow up on that because it's a very strong statement. I want everybody to think about this. Intentionally manipulating real intelligence for a political motive. That's really what Rick's talking about. So he doesn't have intelligence that supports the narrative that this is some kind of Russian disinformation campaign. In fact, the DNI comes out and says, that's not the case. We have no evidence of that. Yet Adam Schiff sticks with that narrative. And Rick, you're saying it is manipulative with political consequence.
Yeah, this is a crisis because Adam Schiff as a politician is just trying to weigh in and manipulate the election because he wants people to just hear that the Joe Biden emails or problems are just politics. So it's a classic political move to pretend, you know, sling mud and then everybody's muddy and it just looks like a muddy mess. But when the Director of National Intelligence has to come out and say it is not true that a House intelligence chairman is out front manipulating intelligence. Look, this is a crisis. This is a crisis. We have seen this pattern from Adam Schiff, but I think this crosses the line. And somebody should ask, you know, one of these Politico reporters or CNN reporters who are pretending to be national security reporters but highly political themselves, we need to know why they're not saying to Adam Schiff, where's the evidence? Where is the evidence that you say that the intelligence community does not have, that you say that this is Russian propaganda? Because I'm tired of the misinformation coming out from Washington, D.C. It's really terrible for the American public and for our ability to think that the government is not manipulating us. We have a crisis of credibility, and Adam Schiff is making it worse.
It's always great to have our special advisor to the ACLJ on foreign policy and national security, Rick Grenell, joining us. And we're bringing this to you, folks, as we lead up to such an important election. Someone who's been in that position as a former acting director of national intelligence and being able to bring you information today, even that Adam Schiff has absolutely not been briefed on any kind of intel like this. Rick, as always, thanks for joining us. We know it's a very busy time. Folks, 15 days out from Election Day. Early voting's begun. I've got my I Voted sticker on. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. As always, you go to aclj.org. A lot is going on at the American Center for Law and Justice. We'll talk about some of that in just a minute. And, of course, you can support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. But I do want to go to the phone calls, following up on our conversation with Rick Rennell, our Special Advisor on National Security and Foreign Policy, because of the statement by the acting director of the current director of national intelligence, the role Rick had before leaving the administration and joining the ACLJ, came out and said that, quote, the Hunter Biden laptop and the emails are, quote, not part of some Russian disinformation campaign. There's no intelligence that supports that, that Adam Schiff has not been briefed on it, nor have members of Congress, because there's no intel to brief them on about it at this point. So Adam Schiff is making that whole lineup that he's known about this for a year, and that's all well known and good, and so just accept my word for it. Well, don't accept his word for it, because he hasn't been briefed on it, and you heard that from Rick Rennell as well, and these are the kind of guys that absolutely would know. Let's go to the phones, and let's go to Joanne in Maine on line four, because this is an interesting question that I think the FBI has got a lot of explaining to do. Hey, Joanne.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My question is, since the FBI has had Hunter Biden's emails and hard drive since December of 2019, what have they actually done? Have they just squashed it and hid it, or are they actually doing any work on it?
Well, if there's an ongoing investigation, you're not going to know the nature and scope.
But there's a problem here. And Senator Ron Johnson, he brought this up. Byte 16, I think, really does, and he was part of putting this report out, addressed this directly.
If they had this information, and these are genuine emails, and it would probably reveal all kinds of things that would have been very relevant to the impeachment case, why did they sit on it? Are they covering up just because Hunter Biden might be engaged in things that also maybe should have been investigated and possibly prosecuted? You know, do we have two systems of justice, one for Democrats, one for Republicans, one for the well-connected versus one for the rest of the Americans? I think that's really probably the larger issue here at play.
You know, that part is, to me, is most interesting, is if the FBI had this information, and while we were, you and I,
before the impeachment trial began,
and while you and I were in the well of the Senate arguing over this,
and Hunter Biden came up,
and it did come up because our colleague Pam Bondi was responsible for that legal issue, and they had it, and they did nothing, or didn't tell anybody, didn't tell the Senate Intelligence Committees, didn't tell the Judiciary Committees, and then what exactly were they doing? Skewing the impeachment? Because Harry Hutchinson's here, our policy director, because that's what it looks like. It looks like they were skewing it to get a desired result if, in fact, the FBI had this evidence, which was very relevant to the charges against the president.
I think you're absolutely correct. So it seems to me that the FBI was directly placing its finger on the scales of justice. And so the real question is, the FBI now sheltering the Hunter Biden story from the United States Senate and the United States Congress like they sheltered the Hillary Clinton connection to the Russia collusion story? Keep in mind that the whole Russia collusion narrative was largely launched by the Hillary Clinton campaign, and the FBI, from my reading of the evidence, took an active part in sheltering that information from the American people. So the FBI has many questions to answer.
All right, we're going to go continue to take your phone calls on this, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Brent in Virginia on line one. Brent, welcome to JSEC Live.
Hey, thanks, and great work on you guys' part. I'm going to be really brief. Rick Grenell said we have a crisis of credibility. I think I would just add to that. We have a crisis of accountability. There's absolutely no accountability when people misrepresent the truth. Yeah. There's no objective, really, reality here. People just make stuff up, and they get away with it. So I think the American people are frustrated with that. Yeah. And I think that frustration is becoming paramount, because it's not just during elections and during impeachment trials. It's the whole way that leadership is acting today in the United States. It frightens people because there's no governing principle of justice.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because I think one of the things that Rick said that are so significant here, at least to me, is that he said politically manipulating real intelligence to get a desired result. In other words, the real intelligence, which they didn't even have, shows Fan that there was no evidence of any Russian disinformation, at least as it relates to this Hunter Biden situation. But yet Adam Schiff comes up with a narrative, manipulates intelligence to try to get this desired result, which is always to show some type of collusion or engagement with the Russians in the Trump campaign. It's the same narrative from 2016 playing out now 2 weeks before the election, as Jordan said, in 2020.
I think that might have been the most important part of the conversation, Chairman Schiff presenting as if he had not just information that he didn't have, but sensitive information that he was not entitled to have. And DNI Ratcliffe saying that, look, the reason I can speak so authoritatively on this is that the only way that Adam Schiff could legitimately have that information is if it came through my office, and no said information did come through my office. So you kind of have to connect the dots here, Jay. But I mean, if Chairman Schiff has the information and he got it another way, it means maybe he doesn't legitimately have information. And Jay, it's not, I mean, and I know that sounds a little bit crazy, but that's exactly what happened the last time. He came upon information that could not be verified, that did not come through proper channels, that was not substantiated, and he ran an entire impeachment scheme from it. So it wouldn't be the first time. And I think people need to connect those dots between what DNI Ratcliffe is saying and what Chairman Schiff has done before. You know he doesn't have the information through a legitimate channel. Is he making up another story? Jay, my conclusion is that probably yes.
I mean, it's hard to, I mean, Jordan, you said this. I mean, we're 15 days from the general election. I mean, it's 2 weeks and a day.
Yeah.
And you've got this story now circulating. And rather than, you know, if the Bidens thought this was not true, there's a real easy way to handle it. Just say, this isn't true. This is bogus. This is false. That's not his laptop, or that's not his hard drive.
Right.
We're not even getting into the substance of the allegations. We're talking about the manipulation that's taking place by people like Adam Schiff, who can't resist manipulating something as to Russia.
Well, the Biden campaign had a problem already from this story, so they tried to put it to rest and tried to go along with like the shutting down of New York Post, who's still blocked out of their Twitter account, and say that even the meeting between that Ukrainian official, Burisma official, and the email to Hunter saying, hey, thanks for meeting with your father and thank you so much for doing that and setting that up. And the campaign just came out and flatly denied that he ever would have met with that person ever. And then the next day they came out and said, well, you know, maybe it wasn't on his schedule, but who knows? So they did a real quick check, and I think they realized, wait, he's vice president of the United States, met a lot of people, to flatly deny things like I ever met them when everybody's got a camera on their phone and they're, you know, taking them from all different places. And then you got a laptop full of photos from the guy. You think, okay, maybe the absolute outright denial is not the best way to go. So, and I think then by doing that, so they tried to close the door by the flat denial, and then they reopened the door by saying, wait, we don't really mean that he never met with him. It opened it back up. It's now fair game to discuss, to investigate, and to deter. And certainly it is fair game when it comes to presidential politics. The American people deserve to know these questions, just like they deserve to know if Joe Biden wants to pack the court. He says he's going to tell people before the election sometime. But as you said, Dad, you know, a lot of millions of people have already voted. So when is he actually going to tell people about court packing? And he says it's based off how the Barrett nomination goes. So I guess unless she's voted down, he is going to support court packing. I mean, that's what I would assume. But he won't tell the voters yet because so many are doing early voting.
Yeah, I think this
this goes online. He won't answer any questions.
Well, but the election, I mean, to say we're 2 weeks and a day from the election is actually not true. The election's taking place in many states right now. So this story, Harry, is out there right now. And the non-denial, which is what, you don't even have a non-denial denial. They're not responding to it. Okay, that's a strategy. But then to take this and to turn it into a national security matter, and making allegations that this was typical Russian disinformation and that Rudy Giuliani was an agent of the Russians for this. They are trying the same playbook that failed in January and February of 2020, just 8 months ago, when we successfully defended the president against impeachment. And here we are again with the same actors.
Absolutely. So many questions are out there which undermine the credibility of Adam Schiff. The first question is, how did the Russians get a hold of Hunter Biden's laptop, if that is the claim that Adam Schiff wishes to make? Adam Schiff consistently cries wolf. What is clear beyond question is that he is the wolf in Russian clothing, just like Joe Biden cries race and racial discrimination, despite the fact that he is the grand wizard of the mass incarceration of African Americans.
Make sure I got that. I want to make sure I got that line exactly right. He's the wolf in Russian clothing.
Absolutely,
Harry Hutchinson. We'll note that one.
When we come back, we'll continue to take your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And we'll also update you. You know, we still represent over 1,000 families We're dealing with COVID-19 and of the effects it's had on school and their children's education.
Had some great results.
Great blog up at ACLJ.org about some of those results. We'll talk about that as well when we come back on Jay Sekulow Live. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Thank you.
welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're going to get back to your phone calls in just a minute on Radcliffe, on the news with Adam Schiff, on the news with Biden, his laptop, the info. Is it was there intel that says Russian propaganda or disinformation? And we now know the answer is no. There's been no intel like that that's been reviewed by any of the American intelligence agencies that are overseen by the Director of National Intelligence, which would be 17 various intel agencies. But Adam Schiff, of course, claims that he's known for a year the Russians would do all this. So I guess he's known about the laptop for a year or more. So they open themselves up some interesting questions. But we wanted to update you, which is haven't had time yet, on the air. We've done it online at aclj.org on the key victories that we have been able to secure for families who are struggling with COVID-related educational issues. So we launched the School Choice Initiative, and then we encouraged people to contact us if they needed assistance. We've heard from more than 1,900 families across 48 states and D.C. We've assigned about already 1,400 of those, because some have still come in, to our attorneys for review. In Idaho, for instance, in one recent victory, our legal team sent an Individuals with Disability Education Act, that's an IDEA letter, on behalf of an Idaho family whose child had an IEP program, an individualized education program, that wasn't being fulfilled. The day after receiving our letter, the school contacted the family, requested a meeting with them to discuss the issue with the family was facing. The school and the family reached an agreement that included in-person schooling 2 days a week for the IEP student, as well as transportation for the student on those days. They also provide the family with a wireless hotspot and two laptops. Yep. To assist the student. That's just one example.
Can I say something about
that? With the
one?
Family, other two children, and their remote learning.
I want to say something just about that one family, because if that was the only family we were able to help in this entire process, it would have been worth it.
Sure.
But we've had hundreds of these. And the individual lawyers at the ACLJ, Abby Sutherland, Michelle Terry, others that have worked on it, I mean, it's been really across the board, have done a really great job working for these families to get quick. Remember, you don't have time to go to court and file lawsuits, and the educational year will wipe out. And I think that your support of this is a good example of where your support of the American Center for Law and Justice really has an impact and really makes a difference for real families with real kids that are really in need. And I'm glad that the ACLJ is there to do it. I'm glad, Jordan, you started this initiative. And this is, look, it's going to continue. We're still getting, I think we had today, I saw we get a daily list of new cases, and I think there were six or seven today.
Yeah, that's right. And we got a victory in New York last week on behalf of Jewish schools. So the ACLJ sent a letter to the New York School District, to the Orange County Health Commission order, and the school had to be continued to be closed. Within 2 days, Health Commissioner agreed to remove the school from the closure list, and the school officially reopened this morning.
There you go.
So again, within 2 days, the school was officially reopened because of work by the ACLJ attorneys.
No, I think, listen, great, and I think Mark Goldfeder handled that case. And that was one they got lumped into. This happens a lot. They got lumped into other schools that were having issues, and they lumped this school in because, oh, it's the same zone or same area, or, and you know, it's same student populace, which is primarily a Jewish student populace. And so it must be the same. And, of course, it wasn't. And we got it resolved in 48 hours. Literally, the case resolved in 48 hours. So, again, your support of the ACLJ has made a big difference for these families, for these schools, for these individuals, and for these communities. This is the real work of the ACLJ. Like Jordan said, we barely can mention it on radio because there's so many other things that we're dealing with. But I thought it was important. We thought it was important to take a little bit of time and put it up. And there is a blog up at aclj.org.
That's right, aclj.org. Now let's get back to your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Remember, we've got a presidential debate. It should be the final debate of this election cycle on Thursday in Nashville, Tennessee at Belmont University at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Trump, Biden, and of course there's been questions about this moderator. The last moderator who was supposed to moderate the second debate has been suspended by C-SPAN. Now, this suspension wouldn't have happened until after he had moderated that debate if it was not canceled because of President Trump's COVID diagnosis. They were not willing to delay that debate. Remember, he lied about it, reaching out to one of Donald Trump's, someone who was on the other side, about how to deal with him because he had interned for Joe Biden. And then he said that was his Twitter account had been hacked. And then people looked, they said, hell, he's done this a number of times since Twitter account's been hacked, with some bizarre statements, something like, horrendous, but just bizarre. Well, even after the debate commission stood up for him, and then, of course, C-SPAN stood up for him. Now C-SPAN,
other reporters that we know and like.
Yeah, and C-SPAN has now suspended him. He lied every time. His Twitter account was never hacked, because who's hacking Steve Scully? Nobody. Do they even know who he is? No. But he would have moderated a presidential debate while lying about his Twitter account being hacked. Think about that. So there is some discussion, because this one's coming from NBC. Turn on NBC. You see any niceties about President Trump there ever?
No.
No. So would you go into a debate with a moderator from NBC? Maybe not. Maybe this is all absurd. Now, President Trump said he's going to fight through it, you know what? But he is going to point it out. And again, so that is big. That is this week, Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern time. It'll be interesting to get the World Series starting tomorrow, too. So all these things that don't usually happen are all happening right now. Let's go to Pat in Florida on line 3. Pat, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Pat.
Hey, thank you for taking your call, guys. My question is, with this obvious blatant lie from Adam Schiff about the what's going on, is he endangering the safety and security of the country, not only with Russia, but around the world?
Well, he's making I'm going to use Rick Grenell's words here, Harry. Rick Grenell said that this was you politically manipulating real intelligence to get a desired outcome. And the real intelligence here, the fact is, there is no intelligence supporting the allegation they made, just like there was no intelligence supporting the entire impeachment on the Russia hoax or the Bob Mueller report. But this seems to be the modus operandi, that they can manipulate this stuff and then all of a sudden turn it into a political issue here while the election's going on. We need to stop saying it's 2 weeks away. The election's going on right now.
Absolutely. So real intelligence is being diminished because Adam Schiff continues to issue statement after statement of misinformation. It's important to remember that during the so-called Russia collusion investigation, Adam Schiff issued breathless report after breathless report that he had definitive evidence of Russia collusion. It turns out, of course, that he had definitive evidence, if any, of Hillary Clinton's involvement with the Russians, but he preferred to claim that President Trump was involved. So with respect to Adam Schiff's latest claims, yes, he is endangering the credibility of America's national intelligence by continuing to offer misinformation and lies.
Let's take the final call. We got a minute left. David, very quickly from Indiana, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. My question is that if Adam Schiff supposedly has evidence, isn't withholding evidence illegal? And if so,
if he had evidence of this, or that the Russians were behind this, yeah, of course he'd have to turn it over. You know what, David? He doesn't have any. Truth is, he'd be putting it out there to everyone. That's one thing we know about Adam Schiff. He'd be putting it out on every Sunday show. We would have already seen it this past weekend. He has no evidence. I'm not concerned about him holding any evidence back that would make this look like it was Russian disinformation. He has no evidence because there isn't any evidence, as the DNI said. The Director of National Intelligence for the United States said, we have no evidence that this is part of Russian disinformation campaign. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. It's why we have special advisors like Rick Grenell, the former acting Director of National Intelligence, who we can bring on this broadcast to you and respond live to all this breaking news. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.